Welcome to this edition of When the Biomass Hits the Wind Turbine, a discussion of sustainable living and what that means to you and me. I am Jay Warmke.
And I am Annie Warmke today, anyway.
Today and yesterday as well. And Okay. Today we're going to talk about raising healthy goats. Or you mean those things are actually going to live? Oh, man.
Oh, that's terrible.
I know
it
is.
Where did you come up with that today to start us off?
All right. Well, it was last-minute thing. Okay. So the first thing. Now, Annie, you're the expert. You're the goat. Not whisperer, because goats won't listen when you whisper. So
yes, goat, they do.
The goat shouter. So getting started on raising healthy goats, I guess you have to start with a healthy goat.
Right. But we're at part two, because we did part one before. And if you didn't hear that, you should definitely go back and listen to every word of it. Because the reality is, if you aren't doing those things that we talked about in number one, you should not be in part two yet.
All right. So goats part deux. So you want to start out with a healthy goat. So what is the key to selecting a healthy goat?
Well, I thought of something else that we ought to just throw out there. And that is that by the time we get to the point of saying what kind of goat are we going to get, there ought to be a budget.
A budget.
Because
Why don't you skip the goats and just raise budgies? That sounds good.
No, a budget. Uh-huh. And the reason for that is because it costs money to have healthy goats. And if you didn't make a budget around the fencing and the housing and all that stuff, now's the time to think about it, because you're going to have expenses with hay and different kinds of herbs or medications, whatever you're going to use to keep the goat going and feed. Plus other stuff, insurance and equipment and all that kind of stuff. So, So budget, and that's a whole different thing. And you can visit BlueRockStation.com and listen to another podcast on how to have a budget and make a living at what you love to do. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so selecting a healthy goat. The bottom line is, first thing is to say, all right, what is it I want this goat to do? Is the goat going to be meat and you're going to raise it for your family, or to sell as meat? And then where's the market for that and how that's going to work? So you need to know the answers to some of that. Or is this a goat that's going to be a companion animal to other animals or children or whatever? Or is it going to be a dairy animal? And those are the three main reasons people keep those animals. And sometimes they use them in work, like working with kids and things like that. So if I want to, so now that I know what my goat's job's going to be, then next I need to say what looks good to me within those categories. So
you're talking what looks good from a specific animal or what looks like
a
breed?
No, I like the way it looks. I tell people all the time.
It's got a little fedora and looking at you kind of
I don't know, Roberto
sideways.
Had bangs. He looked like a little Italian guy with bangs where somebody had put a bowl on his head and cut it straight across. But then after he had a happier life with us, he's gotten more of a wisp to his bangs, and he's pretty cute. But the bottom line is to choose an animal, a breed of animal that you really like the looks of. So if you're looking for meat goats, you don't have much choice, but there are mixed breeds that you can purchase. But you want to make sure that you like the way it looks, because you're going to give that animal the benefit of the doubt when things go south, and they will at some point. They get sick, or they do something more than once that makes you crazy or costs you a lot of money. You're going to look into those eyes and go, oh, you're the cutest darn thing. Or you're going to say, I didn't like the way you looked to start with, and now you're going to go to goat heaven. So it's really vital to like the looks. The other thing is, and you can go online and look at YouTube videos and read all kinds of articles about how to pick a healthy goat. But there are some things that you're going to want to know right up front, even if you don't understand the what they call conformation of that animal. There's some stuff that's a no-brainer. You don't want it to be hobbling, like limping. You want its hooves to look healthy versus be overgrown and not evenly cut. You basically want the goat to look like it's healthy. And you can tell when a human being looks healthy and it doesn't. You can tell a goat it's got too much meat or not enough meat on it. But the one thing that you should really research is something spelled F-A-M, A.
Is the clearing of the throat in the F A M?
No. I just
this is very difficult to follow.
Well, maybe for you, but I just stayed my lunch.
Must be in goat.
Yeah, it's in goat. That's the letter for goat.
Okay, F A M A C H A.
Yes, right. FAMACA, I think is how it's pronounced, and you can go online and read all about that. But it's a pretty important tool. So if you just learn the basics of that, which is basically to look at the goats underneath their eyelids. So you can pull down the bottom eyelid or pull up the top eyelid and look at the underside. And that's going to tell you a lot about that goat's health if there are issues around parasites or iron deficiency, because there are five different colors that eyelid can be, and it's a variation of white to what I call salmon, or a really dark pink. And anywhere in between is going to tell you a lot about what's going on with the animal. And then there's also a process for taking your hand and going along the spine, and that's going to tell you how much fat and how much meat that animal has. Because right now they all have heavy coats, so you can't always tell exactly how lean they are. So that's how you're going to select the goat. And you also want to ask the person who's selling the goats, do they keep records? And if they don't, perhaps that's not the animal for you. You want to see if they've had shots or other medications. We don't give vaccines at Blue Rock Station, so that doesn't necessarily mean that's a bad thing. But you want to know, when was that animal bred, or did it have any kind of problems, and how were those treated? Who were its parents? Where did they come from? So you want to know a few things about the animal. And so keeping goats is not about rescuing. And especially if you have never had a goat, getting a rescued goat or a goat that appears to be unhealthy because you feel bad for it is only going to make you feel worse, and the animal is probably going to die. So don't start with a goat or any animal in your life that isn't healthy unless you're an expert at it.
Right. So basically you're saying that we've seen this where you go to a livestock auction and they parade out, and you have no way of confirming with the owner. You don't know who the owner is.
No, don't do it.
You can't touch the animal.
Even if you could touch the animal, don't do it. So that's not a good way to begin. And the whole point is that you're beginning because you have an affinity for what you're about to do. You want to succeed at it. And so don't start with the wrong tools. And the major wrong tool is not just the fencing, not just the housing or the proper food and how to feed it. It really starts with that animal. So let's start with a healthy animal, or is reasonably healthy. I mean, sometimes you can be fooled. I bought some goats from a guy. They were amazing looking goats, but it turned out they had something called CAE, which is a term they use for arthritis, but it's not just arthritis. And I couldn't have known that. The three goats had nothing done to them. The goat had had kids, and she fed them fine because they certainly weren't well treated by the humans. They weren't abused. They just weren't dealt with. And they looked incredibly healthy. They had a good copper level. But when they kidded and the mama could not produce enough milk, that was my first indication that she probably had CAE. And then there was some testing done, and we discovered that they did have it. So I couldn't have known that.
Well, some of the things they would bring in, you know, essentially infect and affect the rest of the herd for the rest of your life, really, you know.
Right, for the life of the herd. Well, the thing is, when you bring an animal onto your land, you should immediately quarantine it, because you don't want the animals that you already have to give something to that new goat who may or may not have a strong enough immune system, even if they look healthy and they pass all the little tests and everything. And you also don't want that animal to infect your animals. So if you were bringing an animal in and you are going to quarantine it, it should just be able to see the herd, and the herd should be able to see it. as often as it needs to, because goats are not intended to be alone. They need the protection of the herd because they're a prey animal, and they know that anything at any moment is just around the corner waiting to kill them.
Well, how far away from them? You're saying they should see each other, but I would assume some of these issues can be kind of broadcast through the air. So if you're just separating them with a fence, you know, where they can come right
well,
up
no,
against
you don't want
each
them
other.
To touch each other. You want to have some distance. Like we have a lane that a big truck could drive through, and that's the separation most of the time. Sometimes they'll be behind the barn or something like that, but they can still see each other, but they cannot touch each other. And that becomes important also if you want to keep does away from the buck, because believe it or not, the duck and the buck and the doe can be pretty determined. And there are many kids that have been born 5 months later that the buck never actually was in the field, but he managed to breed through the fence. So determination, mm-hmm. that's in their DNA. So you want to know a lot about the animal as much as possible, and don't do anything out of pity. It's not a good way to start.
So basically, you don't want to start with a sick animal, and you don't want to introduce a sick animal to your herd.
Although,
that poor sick animal is just...
SOL.
Yes.
That's right. Mm-hmm. But here's the other thing. So when you transport an animal like that, there are some things you ought to do ahead of time. And with the idea that it's going to be stressed out, and goats don't do well under stress. So you may want to do some more natural things, like we use Dr. Bach remedies. We use Rescue Remedy and larch oil, L-A-R-C-H, and walnut oil. And these are little remedies that are made from tree flowers. And they help to reestablish balance in the nervous system. So we're not drugging the animal. We're asking the nervous system to calm itself. And so we might do that if we're going to haul the animal. We wouldn't haul it in the back of a truck. And they have what they call hauling disease. So a goat can get really sick, like a pneumonia type of thing, after they come through a very stressful situation of being moved.
Is that from the stress, or is from the wind blowing at
no,
them?
No, it's really more stress than anything. Mm-hmm. So because it's hard on them. They don't know what's going on, and especially if they're alone and not being hauled with another goat, then they're sure that they're something bad's going to happen.
So I had hauling disease all through college then.
That you was, did? How
yeah.
do you figure that?
Well, I don't know. It couldn't have been stress.
Mm-hmm. Where did that come from?
I don't know. I'm just feeling empathy with the goat right now.
Let's write that on the mm-hmm. calendar, honestly. So I wanted to say something about hoofs. Hoofs are really...
Don't we all?
You're on a roll.
Go ahead.
All right. So healthy hoofs are very important, because if the hoofs are not regularly trimmed, and most books say twice a year, and that is baloney, that hoof ought to be looked at least every 10 days or so. And yeah, every goat has a different way, a growth rate of a hoof, just like humans with fingernails. So you don't want that hoof to start curving around the bottom of the foot and get impacted with gravel or mud or whatever. And you want to keep it healthy. It will totally destroy the ankle and the knee at some point and make the animal crippled if you don't take care of it properly.
Will climbing on rocks help with that?
In the wild, it helps. That's why they don't need to have their hooves trimmed in the wild. But it doesn't work that efficiently except with little kids.
Okay, well, you are listening to When the Biomass Hits the Wind Turbine with Jay and Annie Warmke, reminding you that it is indeed the end of the world as we know it.
And thank God.
Thank God. And the rest of the show will be brought to you by goats.
The new what?
I don't know.
There was something.
I was going to say the other white meat, but I'm not quite sure.
Don't
about
say that.
Uh-huh.
No sure. Goat wants to be the other white meat. So, uh-huh. So the thing that I feel pretty strongly about when it comes to working with livestock is the psychology of it, the psychology of the herd or the flock. And as a goat herder, it's pretty important to understand how those animals think and how they interact. Because, for example, you may come into the field and they're calling to you, and it's not a normal behavior. They wouldn't normally do that. So it's important to say, all right, what's changed? What is going on? They can be very sad if they abort, and sometimes not even recover from it. But they have a psychology, and there's a pecking order with goats. And so there's what's called the queen, and she appoints herself and often has to fight for the right to be in charge. And then it's usually followed by her kin. So she has daughters, she has granddaughters, so they would be second and third in command in the herd. And then the bottom of the herd would be the wethers, which are the castrated males. And then last but not least, the buck. He has one job, and that is to procreate. And they love him to death when they're in heat, and when they're not, he's worse than liver. So it's vital to understand how the herd works, because the first time you're going to realize this is when you bring a new animal into the herd, and whether it's a livestock guardian dog or another goat, and you're going to want to make sure that those goats in the herd have been able to see the other goat that's not coming into the herd on a daily basis, so they at least understand it's a male or a female or a wether. They'll know that. And then when you bring it in, the first thing I like to do is have everybody tied up. I have stations for everybody, and they're pretty used to that. They know which one is theirs. They'll sometimes even go there for me because they're used to doing that. And that way I have what I call peace agree. And I want to have complete control over the barnyard, and I want to be able to bring that animal in and allow her or him to be in charge of everybody else for that moment and go around and sniff and understand who's who and who the queen is, offer a little feed, get them used to what I'm asking them to do in that situation. They already know what I'm asking in the other field, but now the rules have changed dramatically.
Have you ever introduced a goat into the herd that nobody liked? I mean, they just never liked them, never got on.
Yeah, it happens all the time. And there are some studies, psychological studies about goats coming out of Australia that show that goats know exactly.
Okay, the study came out of Australia. The goats didn't come out of Australia?
Well, they were in Australia when they did the study, Jay.
Because I just thought, okay, these goats just don't like Australians. So,
okay.
All right, I'm just trying to be clear here.
All right, be clear or clever. Uh-huh. Right? Don't know which. Right. So anyway,
I rarely do either.
Anyway, so there are studies being done in Australia on herds of goats. Is that clear enough?
All right. Okay. I'm with you so far.
All right. Well, I just get excited. I think it's fascinating. And what they have found in one of the studies is that goats know exactly who they like and who they don't like. And that's kind of how that pecking order develops as well. And so when a goat comes into the herd, or they're in the barnyard and it's feeding time, they are going to go after the ones they don't like. The goats that they do like, they're going to give affection to, they're going to share with as much as goats are capable of sharing. They do share with their young, but not often with each other in adulthood. They also know the humans they like. And I see this quite often because we have interns that come and go. And when a new intern comes, I can tell if that person's really going to be able to relate with the goats, because the goats will come to somebody that they're trying to decide if they like, and they'll start to rub on the person as a welcoming into the herd. And if they don't do that, then I know there's no point to even have the person come and work with me with the goats, because the goats, there's not going to be a learning situation there for the goats or for them. So in bringing a new goat in, it's important to have control, because the minute you let off of the lead, the goats that have been tied up, there's going to be chaos, because they have to establish the pecking order, and they know that goat that's just come in has to understand who's in charge and who isn't in charge. And this can happen with a new goat or particularly after kidding season, when maybe a goat's gone off with her to give birth, and then she comes back and she's decided she's in charge. And we had a really amazing thing happen this year where we had a goat that wanted to be the queen, Fiona, and she'd been in the herd for maybe 3 years, but she didn't want the responsibility. She just wanted all the perks. And so she was really snotty, and she was headbutting. And as she got more and more pregnant, further along in her pregnancy, she was really mean. And so she headbutted one of the younger goats and caused her to abort twins. So at that moment, it was clear to me that she had to go, but I didn't want to lose her kids. And so when she came out of having her kids, another goat, also Pinky, came out. And Pinky said to her, "I'm in charge now." And they had the most amazing rumble. And the other dog goats came and stood behind Pinky. And I'm not making this up. You know, I don't leave the barnyard when this is happening because I take all the kids and put them away so they can't get hurt. And what happened with the three major milk goats against Fiona was they didn't believe her when she finally stopped fighting. And they just chased her everywhere. Wherever she went, they chased her. And it took two times of having that kind of a rumble before Fiona finally gave up. And now she lives in a new place and called Goat Heaven. And that is where all goats need to go.
So basically, you don't want to lose a goat knife fight because you're going to go to Goat Heaven. When they do lose, do the other goats, does everybody pretty much accept it usually? You know, they have their little rumble, and then they all go,
it might take a couple times. Fiona did not allow it for two. They had two fights. But usually the first time, once it all settles down and they have what I call a come to Jesus meeting at the end, everybody goes, all right, now that's the way it's going to be. And they accept that. But let's say a week later, there's another shift where somebody goes off to kid and comes back into the herd. There's going to be more shuffling and more arguing. And sometimes it's just like they go at each other like, why I oughta, and then nothing happens and they all go their separate way. But it's important to recognize that they're always trying to figure out what's the safest mixture in this herd. Because they're prey animals, they know that they're being stalked. They don't know who's doing it or what's doing it, but they know it could happen at any time. So they don't want a queen like Fiona who doesn't take responsibility but just wants to be the queen. They don't want her, and they never respected her, but she had horns to back up what she wanted, and it didn't work out.
Sounding more and more like Congress, so...
Let me say this about you asked me about you go to Goat Heaven. Not every goat that challenges belongs in Goat Heaven. Mm-hmm. But if you headbutt, if you are grumpier and grumpier as your time comes, and yes, they can be quite miserable, but there's a difference between miserable and being hateful. She was not going to be happy in any situation unless she was completely with her own kids, and her kids were not going with her. And she'd proven that she really was, it's a horrible decision. I didn't like it. I cried about it. I sat with her. I tried everything to reorganize her, but it didn't work. So.
Okay. So let's say that your herd is established. They've come to some sort of goat detente for the moment. And now how are you going to care for them? All right, you've selected them. They've beaten each other up. So far, this is sounding fun, and now they're
it's highly
now
interesting,
they're establishing
really.
themselves, and you got to clean up after them as
yeah,
well.
The
so
poop.
Isn't that?
But here's
isn't
the thing
that
that's not good is if they don't learn not to have you in the middle of it.
Yeah.
They do learn not to do that, and they also learn how to use their horns and how to appropriately use those horns even when they fight. If they're not fighting to the death like Fiona was trying to do, they use their horns, but only as a sort of a caution. Mm-hmm. So a good goat will know how to work with you, and they will not headbutt you. The minute a goat does that to you, there's some changes that have to happen, and if they don't, then they must go to Goat Heaven because they're dangerous then.
Well, moving on to feed.
All
we
right,
were talking
feed.
About that. Now, I do know that when you're you're very cautious whenever you go to change, you know, when you're feeding them grain. You don't want...
Or any food, really.
Yeah, I mean, the stereotype or the myth is that goats will eat anything, but they're pretty finicky. They're pretty picky.
They don't want to eat dirty food, and so if there's poop in the food, they won't eat it. They'll sniff it, and they know it's that way, and they won't eat it, and they won't drink dirty water unless they're going to die. So these are two things to remember. And in terms of feeding them, if you're going to change their feed, whatever that is, you need to do it very gradually. It takes sometimes as much as 2 weeks of just each day introducing a little more of the different food and a little less of the other food so that that stomach, which has those four chambers in it, is able to adjust to what's going on with the feed and how the rumens are adjusting to the acidity and everything that's in the feed. So the ideal is to feed naturally, which would be most goats that are any goat that is not pregnant or producing milk really is able to live on whatever's available in the woods and possibly pasture. They're not pasture animals. They like roughage and they need roughage to digest their food. But you can feed extruded. You can feed extruded food from the store, and there are a number of varieties of those. If you can mix your own, that's better. That has more natural grains and things in it, and is certainly non-GMO food.
How much would you give them? Because I know that they'll eat themselves sick.
You have to keep the feed so that nothing can get to it—rats, mice, or the goats—because they won't stop eating. They'll natural food. They don't binge on, but it's like they got exposed to ice cream and now they're going to eat all of it. What you want is to say, all right, this animal is either pregnant or lactating, and so I'm going to give it a 1 pound coffee can of food each day. And then the last couple of months of the pregnancy, and then depending on how long you're milking, you might switch to 2 1-pound cans, so one in the morning, one at night. And that's a whole different, you know, everybody's got a different strategy on that, but you're worried about nutrition. And we also feed organic kelp and something called cervicea, which is a ground up kind of like a hay that we feed for parasite issues. So there's a lot to raising goats. And in the part three, we're going to talk more about illnesses and parasites and a lot more about food and how to use herbal remedies for a lot of things.
And will we get into the breeding of goats? And
that's got to be another chapter.
That'll be part four.
Well,
part
perhaps,
six, part
yeah,
seven.
That's right. There's a lot to it. Yes.
Yes. So much about goats that I...
He's saying that with his tongue right in his cheek.
I really just always wish I knew. Anyway... You've been listening to When the Biomass Hits the Wind Turbine with Jay and Annie Warmke. And we thank you for spending just a wee bit of time with us and the goats. And as your grandmother hopefully told you, the secret to a happy and sustainable life is...
Play nice with others, clean up your own mess, and Jay, be like the goats and eat those veggies.
Okay, till next time. Bye-bye.
Mother Earth will sing and her children will be...
You can find more information on living sustainably in our unsustainable world at BlueRockStation.com.